Welcome back to the Locked On Chargers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcasting Network. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, here with my two co-hosts, David Drogemeyer and John Kegley, as always. We're three sports writers from San Diego Sports Domination, the top sports blog in San Diego, and the three hosts of the Chargers Domination Live Facebook Live web show. And that's why we're here with the Locked On Chargers now. We wanted to get something that's more every day, 4 to 5 times a week, and that's what we're doing here now. And for today's show, we're going to go over the Chargers game against the Seahawks, specifically who we thought the big winners and losers were on the defensive side of the ball. We're also going to get to one big injury and a few guys that we've heard Charger fans clamoring to bring in. But first off, David, how are you doing?
Doing wonderful. I think the Chargers defense is one of the best in the league, and there's a lot of material to go over. We'll get into that in a little bit, but first of all, we got to get into an injury, unfortunately. Jalen Watkins injured his knee, and it turns out it was an ACL tear, so we have to say goodbye to Jalen Watkins for the season. He has been placed on IR.
And for you kids keeping a scorebook there at home, that is the Chargers' third torn ACL of the preseason, or as John likes to call them, the ACL Chargers instead of the LA Chargers.
I can't focus right now. Oh, God.
Great contribution, John, but getting over Jalen Watkins, it's hard, guys, because we didn't get to see that much of him. We know he was a depth piece on the Eagles Super Bowl championship team from last season, but we hadn't seen him really do much so far. I think he was actually playing his best game of his short Chargers career when he got hurt with this ACL injury. And it's just, I mean, another guy that they obviously saw a role for when they signed him during free agency. And John, I just want to gauge, besides your laughter, where you feel this ranks as far as big preseason injuries and how you think it affects this team going forward.
I don't want to say it's a small injury, but it's not a huge injury either. I feel like he was doing pretty good on the special teams with, like, being that guy that runs down there on the punts like Jeremiah Tauchu and Dale Stuckey used to do when they'd be the first guy down there. I thought he was doing really well at that. As far as being on defense, I don't think he was going to see much time on defense. So, I mean, as far as special teams, I think it's a big loss. But other than that, it's kind of a minor loss in my opinion.
And David, are you broken up about this Jalen Watkins injury, or do you think the Chargers will be able to fill in for him and keep it moving?
Well, as John said, Jalen Watkins was a backup, just a depth piece. So, you know, seeing him go down with an ACL tear, obviously you never want to see anyone get hurt and, you know, not be able to play the game that they love or that they get paid for. But, you know, as in the grand scheme of things, I don't think this has a tremendous impact on the Chargers roster or the depth that they already have in place at the position. There's a lot of quality players at safety that the Chargers have. So, unfortunate for Jalen Watkins to get hurt, but I don't think this really hurts the Chargers too much in the long run or the short run.
He did get the start this last game, guys. They did want to give him the start since they gave Rayshon Jenkins the start in week 1 of the preseason. So I feel for him there, but as we talk about Rayshon Jenkins, it also makes you feel a little bit better knowing that you have Rayshon Jenkins and Jahlil Adai and Adrian Phillips and, of course, #1 pick for the Chargers, Derwin James. So it's not as if they lost Virgil Green for the season. Don't want to talk that into existence, but they should be able to make up for it. But it also leads into the Bengals releasing safety George Iloka.
Yeah, I mean, he is a big name. I mean, the Bengals basically released George Iloka for money reasons. There's really not much more other reasons to go with. I mean, it really wasn't performance-based, as he played pretty well for the Bengals over the last several seasons. But the Chargers, I don't think, would be interested. And even if they were, they don't have very much cap space left. And they kind of want to keep the cap space that they have just in case there are injuries to more important decisions going forward. I think, like I mentioned before, I think the depth at the position is pretty strong right now. So as sexy as the name is, I don't think the Chargers should pursue George Iloka.
But I think when you talk about that, it's kind of like, yes, it's a big name, but is it a position of need? And even with Jalen Watkins going down, I think we can firmly say we don't have that kind of money, especially to put in there, because, hey, I think we'd all rather see a veteran defensive tackle or a veteran tight end maybe get that money if they are going to go and try and find someone who is waived by another team. And speaking of being waived by another team, John was thinking about maybe welcoming back a former Chargers teammate, and that is Caron Reed, which does play in a huge position of need, and that's defensive tackle, but I know there is some downside too to it, John.
Yes, I would like to see some more defensive line depth. Caron Reed played for the Chargers, didn't play that bad, but the problem with the Chargers is they have injury issues, and so does Caron Reed, so it's really 50-50. I mean, you get a guy who's pretty decent on the D-line, nothing great, but decent enough to make some depth, but is he going to stay healthy the whole season because he just got cleared from a hamstring injury, which is why the Colts finally released him? It's kind of tough, but you need depth on that D-line right now.
Well, and he's someone that you know at least has played for the Chargers, is familiar with the Chargers, and actually was productive with the Chargers when he was on the field, but it's hard for a team that deals with so many injuries to even really consider bringing back someone that has already burned them with the injury bug in the past, Jason Verrett. And I think, you know, we'll have to wait and see. This is the very first wave of teams waiving. So we're going to wait. Rosters don't even have to be trimmed down yet to 53. So there's going to be probably more talented, better fits for the Chargers going forward. And then we'll wait and see if they want to pick up one of those guys and use what they have left of their salary cap. But coming up next, we're going to get into the big losers on defense. I'm looking at you, Roberto Aguayo. Just kidding. Let's get into the biggest losers from this week. I can't keep it off my chest, so I'm going to go ahead and start it off here. And that's Michael Davis. And just when you think that he turned the page and is actually really good now, and you fall for his nonsense, he turns around and he bites you in the ass and shows you a lot of the things we saw that preseason is, hey, it doesn't matter if you're 6'2". If you look like a small child when the ball goes up in the air and you can never get your hands on it. And I think that was the biggest problem from this game, you guys, besides getting mossed two plays in a row, a.k.a. B.J. Clay and Michael Davis. That's a twofer right there. Two double mosses on back-to-back plays. You don't get that often. Just a lot of mosses. Guys, we're talking about Randy Moss, kids. Look him up. Hit YouTube up. Randy Moss, come on. All right. But, guys, Michael Davis, obviously a huge step back and really opens the door on this whole cornerback competition, David.
Yeah, it surely does. I mean, Michael Davis didn't play all that bad. He did have a couple of pass breakups, but he did get beat over the top a couple of times. And for a guy with his speed and his size, you don't really expect him to get beat like that. And it's kind of like a theme with him, you know, something, an issue he's had, you know, since he's been a part of the Chargers is getting beat over the top. So the more that happens, the less confidence I have in him, and I'm sure the coaching staff has in him for that matter. I mean, you can be tall and you can be fast, but if you don't have good technique and you continue to get beat over the top, they're going to find a way to replace you with a guy who can do the job.
And don't ever underestimate the Chargers' willingness to not cut a guy named Craig Mager.
After having a pretty good game at the first game, I literally saw night and day. Like, what happened to the first Michael Davis from the Cardinals game? When he goes to cover a pass, the guy literally just catches it over him like he doesn't even exist. It looked like a one of those tackle dummies just standing there for practice. It was like, were you even trying to knock down the ball? It was not even like, well, you can kind of see, no, he got completely beat. And sometimes it was back-to-back plays that he got beat. It was really bad. It opens up this cornerback race a lot. And as you mentioned, that means Craig Mager has a chance now to make this roster, maybe even Tony Brown. It's starting to look a little bit weird now. And there's a guy who we're going to talk about in the winners who now becomes interesting with this play by Michael Davis.
Yeah, and I think to your point, John, there's another guy losing on a smaller scale, and that's Brandon Faison, who after coming up with a big week one, didn't necessarily show out in week two. But the second loser I have here, guys, is a position battle we talked about last week, and that is that situational third pass rusher on the Chargers defense, the Chris McCain role, which we call it this year, and that's Chris Landrum, because even though you might have seen Chris Landrum on the field, you definitely didn't see him do anything, because he ended with zero sacks, zero tackles, and zero quarterback hits. And I think he took a step back in this race, you guys, a guy they were excited about two seasons ago. It looks like he might have gotten passed up by someone else, John.
I would totally agree, and I would say that guy might be Isaac Rochelle. If you see week one, he looked like he was going to make a splash, kind of like what J.J. Jones did this week. And now this week, you're like, is he even still on the roster? He was just standing around, basically, with how easily he was blocked. And the fun thing about preseason is when you watch one game, watch another, you literally start seeing a night and day with some of these guys, and it makes it a little bit easier to pick who makes this roster. And then, so a lot of us had Landrum with some high hopes, not he's going to start week one high hopes, but he's going to fight for that roster spot. And after this game, I mean, I'm sure some of us are changing our minds.
People are definitely changing their mind on Chris Landrum. You can't go into a preseason game and not provide any kind of pass rush when that is really your sole job. They've had Chris Landrum in on the roster for a couple of years. And, he kind of was sitting in wake as Chris McCain shined last year, but, you know, they had to let him go. So they're expecting Chris Landrum to come in and provide pass rush in his absence. But that has not happened at all this offseason. And that's highlighted with his performance of doing absolutely nothing in this game against the Seahawks.
And I think Chris Landrum at this point has to go from feeling pretty good about his roster spot and how excited the Chargers were to bring him back to wondering if he still has a spot on this roster, because I just don't know if, I mean, you could see a scenario in which they have to make tough decisions and they say, hey, it's one or the other, Isaac Rochelle or Chris Landrum, and I don't think that conversation is going to go well for Chris Landrum. But getting on to the next couple losers, okay, so I'll say this. B.J. Quay, you're done. Goodbye. That's it. Sorry.
No question. No question about it. On back-to-back plays, he got beat. On the first play, they beat him, and then they're like, okay, this guy's a bum. So let's go back and beat him again on a two-point conversion where he looked absolutely lost. And it was just bad. I mean, he's a camp body. It's even ever more clear now, and he has no chance of making the roster. Bye-bye, B.J. Clay.
But I totally agree with that. There's no way you can convince me he's going to make this roster.
No, he's definitely not.
He has a chance. I would rather have Hayes Pollard play corner than B.J. Clay.
You just love yourself some Hayes Pollard. Future Hall of Famer Hayes Pollard. Anyways, so I think the last guy, the honorable mention in this list is Jahleel Adai, who, according to Pro Football Focus, had one of the five lowest grades on the team. And, I mean, when you're next to B.J. Clay on any list involving the last game, it's not somewhere you want to be. And a couple other safeties were near the top of that Pro Football Focus rating. So that will be next. All right, time to get into the most exciting part of this show, you guys. The last part of the show. It's time to get to our three big winners, our three lightning bolts, our three whatever you want to call it, biggest players of this game, and the guys who maybe didn't win themselves a spot, but definitely won themselves some consideration for more playing time. And it's going to start with my player of the game on defense, and that's Isaac Rochelle, a guy we talked about last week, John, and we said, hey, we want to see more. We heard the talk. We heard the camp buzz. We heard the whispers. How about some action? And we got it because he showed out. He had two sacks. I saw he was rushing from the interior. Like we were saying, we might actually see him on the interior defensive line getting after the passer and really just being all over the field, John. That is what I'm talking about. Enough words. I loved seeing it on the field, and it made me feel a lot better about the Chargers' pass rush, knowing that this is just another weapon who at some points in that game, John, looked unblockable.
Unblockable is an understatement. He was literally going through that line like a knife through butter, just literally cutting through, and even if the play was going the opposite way from him, he was chasing it down, was at least around the ball during the tackle, or was in the quarterback's face as after he threw the ball. Like, he was literally right there every time, and that's what we were talking about with Owosu last week, was he was all over the field and always around the ball. Now Rochelle is joining that list of guys that is like that. And if you can have a whole defense of those type of guys, you could probably see one of the greatest defenses, not only in Chargers history, but in NFL history. That's right. I said it, in NFL history.
All right. Well, a team with this bad of a run defense is never going to be one of the best defenses in NFL history. But, I mean, on one of those sacks, in where he was rushing off the interior, he just outmatched the guard. The guard wasn't ready for his repertoire of pass rush moves. He hit him with one of the filthiest swim moves I saw this week out of all the games. And just, I mean, left the guard in his dust. And that's the kind of thing you think about, is not just being a situational pass rusher, getting on the field with Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram. Like, that thought is just absolutely dirty. The other teams better hope they get something on first and second down, because if they get to third down and they have to throw, the type of guys the Chargers are going to put on the field for those situations is going to be absolutely filthy, David, if Isaac Rochelle can keep playing like this.
Well, just imagine this. Let me just put something in your mind real quick. You got Joey Bosa, Melvin Ingram, Uchenna Nwosu, and Isaac Rochelle all on the line coming after the quarterback. That right there is a scary, scary thought. Because you can put Bosa and Ingram both on the same side, which is already a nightmare. And then you have two other guys that are capable of rushing the passer from the interior and on the other side, on the outside with Nwosu. It's, man, it makes me salivate just thinking about it. It's just, it's fantastic. Those guys are super talented. They all get on the field together. They can make some magic happen.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, God forbid you send Desmond King or Jatavis Brown on a blitz. But being able to get pressure with four is one of the hottest commodities in the NFL and one of the hardest things to do consistently. And the Chargers look to have that power this year. But, John, let's get to Jeff Richards, a guy you saw make some good and bad plays last week. Seemed like he evened his play out this week and actually showed off a little bit and put his name squarely into the bottom part of that cornerback depth chart.
The game against the Cardinals, he was so inconsistent, it was unbelievable. One game, in one play, he would look really good, and the next play, he's getting pass interference or he's getting beat, and then he's coming back and making a play. It was so inconsistent, I literally could not tell what to get from him. This week, he was covering guys. If someone cut in front of him and made a catch, he was already there to make the tackle for like only a four-yard gain. He looked way better. And with Michael Davis playing bad, I think Richards has shown that maybe he deserves a chance at making that cornerback list after this performance this week.
One thing he's going to have to do if he wants to get that spot, though, is play well on special teams, and that's one thing that Michael Davis does provide is value on special teams.
Well, yeah, and it might not even be Michael Davis' spot. I mean, I could see it a situation where the Chargers keep five corners. It's going to have to come from somewhere. Craig Mager had a couple tackles this game. Don't get me started on Craig Mager. But, guys, going to the last part of our winners, I'm going to throw three names out there for you. And I think this storyline, guys, is veteran Chargers keeping the young guys off their backs for just a little longer. And that's three guys coming up with very solid games. That's Adrian Phillips, second-year man Rayshon Jenkins, and John's best friend, Kyle Emanuel, who he told to go start looking for a new job. But we won't tell anyone that. John, what did you think about these three guys?
Emanuel has impressed a little bit. I've seen a lot more of the ability to look around in the pass defense, just a little bit improved. I wouldn't say greatly improved, just a little bit more improved. And his ability to stop the run is looking a lot better as that strong side linebacker. I mean, it's not the greatest thing, but he's the best one we have to be the backup, if you will. And then Adrian Phillips is looking like he deserves to be part of that safety group that we have with Jalen Watkins going down. He was the difference maker last year in that run defense, and he's showing that he can maybe do it again. And he looked a little bit better as far as the passing game goes as well.
Yeah, David, I think all these guys had solid games, but any one of these three guys specifically you want to point out for something you saw in the game on Saturday?
It's just good to see a guy like Rayshon Jenkins, who did not get much of an opportunity last year, to actually get on the field and play well. There's an opportunity for somebody to take the free safety spot, and if he continues to play well in preseason, that could be him starting opposite either Derwin James or Jahlil Adai, however they want to configure it to start the regular season.
Yeah, guys, I think there was a lot to build on this game. I think we got some more clarity on some positions and less clarity on others. But I think it was an overall net positive, and I think we're really starting to see guys, step their game up and throw their hat in the ring for either a spot on this roster or more playing time amongst their peers. But that's going to wrap the show up for us today. On the next show, we actually have a very special show. We're going to be breaking down each of our three AFC West opponents over the next 3 weeks leading up to the first regular season game against, guess who, the Chiefs. And I know Patrick Mahomes had a 70-yard touchdown. I don't want to talk about it. But that's going to wrap things up for us on today's show. I'm Danny Wade with John Kegley and David Drogemeyer. Make sure to follow our page at LockedOnLAC on Twitter. And make sure to subscribe to the Locked On Chargers podcast on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast from. And check back with us later this week. We'll catch you later. Go Bolts.